y'all, and welcome to Trials to Triumphs. I'm Ashley Blaine Featherston Jenkins, but you can call me ABFJ. This week, my sis, actress Brisha Webb, talks to me about moving through grief by believing our rainbow is coming. 2 years ago, Brisha lost her father in the midst of filming her hit show, Run the World. As a guest star at the time, I remember watching Brisha on set and being so in awe of her energy despite what she was enduring.
Someone said, how are you getting through this? And I said, I know one day my rainbow is coming and I can just rest on that.
Brisha, welcome to the pod.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to chat with you. Here's the thing. I've known you such a long time. I was thinking about this as I was preparing for this interview, and I was like, oh my gosh, Brisha has known me since I was baby Ashley, had basically just was very new to LA. And, you know, we've become friends, we've become coworkers in that time. And I just have loved seeing your ascension. And I just hope you know that I'm always supporting you. I'm always praying for you. I'm always believing in you for all of the things that you want. And I have just been so grateful because I've always felt that from you too. So I'm excited to get to know you better. I'm excited to share you with our listeners and see what's in the world of Brisha, what your trials to triumphs have been.
Okay, this is so fun. I'm such a fan of your podcast.
I've thank you.
Listened to it and everything. I was like, look at Ash. Look at her. I was there. Remember we were on set.
Yeah.
Oprah. Like, Oprah.
Yeah. My first episode came out when I was shooting Run the World with you guys. Like, I remember listening to it. I remember listening to, I think, the first episode in Transpo going to work and being like, this is crazy that my podcast is out. Yeah, it's wild. And here we are in the second season. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been a joy. It's been a gift. I love it. And I get to have these cool conversations with my friends. So it doesn't even feel like a job. It's just fun all the time.
Well, I'm so happy to be a part of it. So thank you for having me.
Yay. Thank you. Okay. Well, I'd love to start if we could. Can you tell our listeners how we met? Do you remember?
Oh God, how did we meet? I just remember moments of just, because we were always crossing paths because you're a little younger than me. So I do not remember how we met. If you can refresh, I mean, I do.
Yeah, have, like, no, I remember. Okay.
Okay.
So, we I think we like knew of each other just in like the Black Dress universe.
Yes.
But you were shooting Love That Girl up in Northridge.
Okay.
And I was going up there and auditioning for a show that was on Bounce TV, which shared like the same stages. And it's wild because during that time you were doing Love That Girl. I was auditioning for all the things, anything that Bentley Kyle Evans was doing, I was auditioning for it. And then Yvonne Orji was there writing. So yes. When I look back now, I'm like, oh my gosh. But I remember meeting you there and you were so kind. You were actually working. You were in costume or in wardrobe rather. And I remember just you're just like, Brisha, Ashley, oh my God. We just hugged. And I was like, I love your work. Congrats. And then ever since then, it seemed like our paths started to cross more and more. But I met you when you were shooting Love That Girl up in Northridge on them stages.
Oh,
probably in 20,
God.
Maybe 2011 or 2012. I'm going to say 2012, yeah. Maybe. That tracks?
Yeah, that tracks.
And that's look at amazing. You now, girl. Yes.
God is good, ain't he?
God is good. Yes, he all the time. Yeah. So then, you know, to have such a full circle moment and then I'm shooting with you on Run the World in New York. It's just so amazing when things like that happen. Given like when we had met and then how far we've come. So I love that story.
Yvette Lee Bowser, it's just so full circle.
It's so full circle. I want to start with some icebreaker questions. Are you down?
Okay, let's go.
You're pregnant. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I can't and wait. I
this onesie thing, and it's so itchy. I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Oh, no.
Like, I'm like,
So I read in your People interview that you were like loving pepperoni pizza and Coke.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you've been loving during your pregnancy?
We still like pepperoni pizza and Coca-Cola.
Okay.
I love olives. Anything salty and briny, like anything that I like.
Okay. Okay.
But now I'm in a place where I really don't even care about cravings. Now I'm just like, what is that? I want some of that. Yeah. Like, I've been in the house for a second and my husband was eating like a oatmeal raisin cookie. And I was like, what is that? And he was like, it's oatmeal raisin cookie. I was like, ah, like, I'm just.
Gotta have it. You're in your gotta have it phase.
I love hospital ice.
Oh, are you going to the hospital to specifically get it?
Well, I mean, this pregnancy has been very interesting. So I have been in and out, but that's another conversation.
Okay.
But my husband, for Christmas, because that was like the only thing that was making me happy, was hospital ice, like the crushed little teeny ice.
Yeah, he got you the ice maker.
He did.
Yeah.
It's my jam. I drink it with everything. It just makes everything so much better. It's like
I love that.
Sonic ice.
Yes. I know exactly what you're talking about. That sounds amazing. And it's funny you say that. I have another friend on social media who said that her favorite gift for Christmas was the ice maker that she got from her husband. I'm like, do I need the ice maker?
You need the ice maker.
Because I do enjoy ice. Out. I do enjoy it.
I just chew it. I love it. It's so it makes me so happy.
Okay, good. I can see you lighting up.
It's a good machine, filtered water, and it's just perfect.
All right. Well, maybe my husband will get me that as a gift. Just a Just Because gift. I was like, hey, Daryl, I want the ice maker off Amazon.
Yes. Go get you one.
I love that. Well, okay, let's start at the beginning, Brisha. What did Baltimore, Maryland give you?
Oh, what did Baltimore, Maryland give me? It gave me honesty. Baltimore is just, it's a hard city. You know, it's a hard city. We have a lot of charm. They call it the charm city.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a hard city. You know, you're always having to prove yourself because they just don't believe. Like, they just do not believe you. But it gave me honesty because if I can make it there, I knew I could make it anywhere, whether that was at doing regional theater, whether that was, you know, doing side commercial gigs. I had to prove to myself that I was enough there to move to LA and that I had what it took. So, because people don't lie, you know, like if you're not compelling or you're not doing what you said you were going to do, sing, dance, whatever, they don't show you no love. So it's a hard city.
Yeah.
They wait to make the like, you know, so they gave me honesty, you know, and still to this day, like I go home, it's real. It's a reality check, you know? So I love Baltimore City because it keeps me honest, keeps me humble. Not that you need anything to keep you humble, but sometimes you just need that honest check, just to that net check, just to be like,
yes.
You remember where you're from, right?
Mm.
And I'm like, yeah, I ain't too big from where I'm from, so let me just calm down. So it keeps me honest, and it gives me honesty.
How would you describe, if you could, your upbringing? What did it look like? What did it feel like? What's like a fond memory of Brisha as a young child?
My upbringing was just full of love. I had two parents that came from arts, you know, even though they worked regular jobs and was really big in the church. My mom was a professional dancer up until she had me traveled. She studied ballet and modern and danced with Alvin Ailey. So she understood the arts very well and put me in the arts. Like, I was a dancer. I was whatever I wanted to do. The world was my oyster. She wanted me to figure it out. My dad was a singer. And so he sang in church. He traveled Europe singing. Yeah, he had a beautiful voice. And, you know, so it was just, it was great to be surrounded around artists. So anytime I wanted to do a speech or anything, they just supported me. I wanted to do regional theater and audition. They would take me, you know. So, I mean, I know with other, you know, performers, they might not have had that kind of support. Yeah. I'm very sure that I had that type of support and they believed in me, you know? So I'm very grateful for that. And they kept, you know, pushing me along. They never once doubted that acting wasn't going to be the thing that I went for. You know, they were like, this is what she going to do.
Of course she's going to do this.
Yeah, she's not going to be a nurse.
Yeah.
She's not. Go to college. That was the only thing. Go to college for whatever you want to do. And I did. And I went to CalArts. But, you know, but it was just very supportive.
Yeah, that's a blessing.
Yeah, it's a blessing. But a fond memory is just all of the dance recitals, all of the things that I've ever had to do. Being able to take my parents to premieres and letting them see like the billboards and just seeing it all come together. Like all of that believing, all of that hard work, all of that taking me to New York and we don't know what's going on. You know, listening to managers talk their ear off and it all worked out, you know?
Yeah.
So like that's a fond memory.
It all worked out.
My parents always kept it real. You know, it was like, look, you got to keep yourself out of certain situations or you won't be able. It's going to make it difficult for you to do what you love to do. So I'm grateful for that guidance. You know, I'm grateful for that type of love and that, you know, and as well, like my dad, he always would say, you can take no's. Like, he was like, I could take no's like you. Like, somebody said, oh, you do your hardest and you do all of this stuff. He was like, you're made for this because you can take a no and keep going. I take a no, I get defeated. You know, he would go through this whole thing. He said, but you're just like, okay, they said no. Who else has a yes? You know, and he was like, you've been like that since you were a child. And he was like, that's how I knew you were going to be safe in this profession.
Wow.
You know, judgment of all of what you're going to have to endure just as a person living in this place, you know, of rejection, of self-sabotage, because it's a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah.
To go day by day, and you just don't know what's happening. Like, look at our profession now. Like, we're just like,
this is our twilight zone.
So we've never been here before. And none of the records. We're setting a new standard.
Prisha, you are a hoot. Like, just a hoot. I'm obsessed with you. Talk to me about your dad. What's something that he instilled in you that you'll always cherish and keep close to you?
I gotta blow my nose.
Okay, go ahead, please.
Pregnancy is just so interesting, right? It's just, it elevates whatever.
Got it. In your body.
So, I have this genetic disorder that I didn't know about that my dad gifted me with. And so working on that whole thing, but it's kind of elevated it during pregnancy because you've got all this extra blood and all this extra.
Yes. Fluid.
Just
also,
a lot of
I don't think that's any coincidence that I just asked you about your dad. And
I know. And so it just is like, here
it's
he is.
Acting up. He's like, hey.
There, he is. There it goes.
Not a coincidence. He's like, not I'm here. It's not.
I'm right here. Right. Nowhere. Just right here in the spirit. So it'll calm down in just a second. It just.
No worries. This is real. This is a real podcast. This is a real. This is the real life.
It's real life. It's real yeah. life. So yeah, this is pregnancy for me. So that's what I've been going through, just dealing with that. Mm-hmm. But I'm very grateful because I get to be, you know, off right now. And, you know, I thought I was having like a normal pregnancy and now I'm like fully high risk.
Oh, wow. Did it change like partway through?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whoa.
Yeah. But we're at 6 months now, so.
Yeah.
Finish line. You know,
almost
I'm meeting
the finish
with specialists.
Line.
Yeah. So they're like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. We thought. And I was like, okay. Let's get her out as safely as possible.
Yes. Actually, I want to talk a little bit, as much as you're comfortable talking about in a second, I want to talk about motherhood and family and marriage and all of those things. But I just think, you know, on the pod, I've talked to a lot of women just about their motherhood journey. And I just think it's so important to talk about because you don't know that you're not alone until you hear somebody else say it. You just
Girl,
don't know. You just don't know.
Don't know. I mean, you have no idea. Like,
yeah.
The sisters that I have in my life that have carried me through pregnancy, through prayer, through, you know, just everything.
Yeah.
Very grateful for my sisters. And they just really have helped me, you know, because even though I'm going through this journey and this disorder that's very rare, it's called HHT.
HHT. Okay.
HHT. And it's got a long, like, hereditary hemoglobin, blah, 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 blah. It's very rare. And I felt alone because. I'm just in the hospital and everyone's just talking to me. And I'm like, no one else knows what this feels like. And my dad actually passed from this.
Wow, Brisha.
Yeah. So it's still like grieving while I'm going through it.
My question was, I was actually going to ask you, obviously, about something your father instilled in you, but I was going to ask, where are you at in moving through your grief? Where are you at currently in grief of grieving your father?
It's a wave. It's a wave of so many different emotions. It comes and goes. Sometimes I think I'm over it. Some things, you know, like, I understand how sick he was. I was there. And I'm grateful for, you know, working in New York and being able to go back and forth and be with him. I see why God placed me there for that time. But, you know, me and my dad were very close. And I understand the frustration and all of it, the questioning and all of it. So I was able to fully comprehend why he had to leave body. Like why he had to leave the body, but still in the spirit. But I understood it. Conceptually understood it. So I use that to deal with my grief. And I put my grief in different things. You know, like into my wedding, into everything, you know, like my work, you know, I have to get this done. I have to, you know, it just comes out in different ways.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel like I'm in a good place now, but going through this whole thing, it's just like, Lord Jesus, Daddy, why'd you leave this early?
I know. Yeah.
But it's okay. You know, like I'm strong and the angels are around and God is guiding me to to whoever needs to be placed in my life at the right time for me to talk to. So things get handled correctly. And I'm very grateful for that because I know it's not just me. You know, people are calling on my behalf. And so I'm very grateful for that. So that's how I see my father. I'm like, okay, I'm still surrounded. I'm still covered. I'm still, you know, fighting the good fight.
Fighting the good fight. When you found out about the condition that you have and it affecting your pregnancy, did that kind of send a shockwave through your grief because it's directly correlated to your dad? Like, what were your initial thoughts in those moments of, like, you know, getting this news?
I mean, I really didn't have time to react because I was more concerned. Like, I'm already pregnant, you know, so it's like, okay, so how is she doing? Mm-hmm. You know, my husband is more concerned about me. You know, like, okay, what about Brisha? And I'm like, what about the baby? Mm-hmm. The baby's fine. Baby's unbothered. You know?
So, amen.
Amen. You know? Yeah. So it's me. But, you know, how that just sends grief on it. Like, it just comes in waves. I go through frustration, like with my nosebleeds and all of this stuff. And like, why do I have to do that? But I also have to realize that, you know, God wouldn't give me something that I couldn't bear.
And there's a
reason that all of this is happening, that I could not avoid, you know? So maybe these are opening doors for me to unlock or be a spokesperson for this disorder, you know? So I'm opening those doors instead of into my, how it can be depressing.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Just be like, okay, so what is the role now? What is the move and how am I supposed to, what are my orders?
What are my orders?
What are my orders? You know, if I'm going to be okay and I can see that other women have delivered successfully with this disorder, how can I inspire? How can I lift someone else up? Because I know what it feels like to be alone, have no one to talk to, and just be like hoping that doctors know what they're doing. I really have a heart now for women that, you know, like, yes, I come with a certain, you know, status. You know, I have my insurance, you know, but my heart goes out to women who don't, you know, and going through this process has made me realize that on a deeper level, you know, women that are pregnant and that don't have the support.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm like, okay, God, what are my orders now with that too? Because I do care and I see them. You know, but if I see them and I'm having conversations with them, what are you wanting me to do with this, with my place and my status and where you're going to place me? What do you want me? How do you want me to use my voice?
Yeah.
So I love into the grief. I just go into what
the action. The purpose, because, you know, you have the awareness that everything is purposeful. Nothing is wasted. And that's how I try to live my life. Like, nothing is wasted. Even the hardest of times that seem to not make any sense. I know that God does not waste his time having things happen in my life that are frivolous. So it's more important for me to focus, dig deep, and figure out what is the meaning. And I love what you just said, or what are my orders? Like, what are my orders? Because we are all here with orders. It's up to us to be obedient, but we all have orders.
We all have orders. We all have orders.
When you think about your career, Brisha, currently, but also in retrospect, what would you say are your orders pertaining to that? Outside of, obviously, you're going to be successful. You're going to be, you know, effervescent and all those things. But in a macro sense, what do you think your orders are from God as far as what he wants you to do with your career?
Well, I've always looked at my career as service. I've never looked at it as like, of course, the glitz and glam and all of that have been really great. But I've always looked at it as a service place. You know, what energy can I control? And what can I give to a set? What can I give to my castmates? What can I give mm-hmm. to the space? You know, and that's always made me more aware of what I'm supposed to do with every single job. I've looked at every single job and I've seen God's hand over it, over me, but also, oh, Brisha said this, or I was used for a specific thing, you know, like I know Run the World was this thing and I talked about it, but you know, I lost my father as I was filming. And the scenes kind of reflected that as I was filming as well. And it was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do, but I was also able to inspire and to encourage people and yeah. show them a different way of how to move through. You know? And I'm like, look, that's all I got today. Yeah. But I'm bringing you the best of what I got today. Mm-hmm. And I'll do the best I can with what I can bring you tomorrow too. And how can I bless you? And how can we bless each other? And how can we be better to each other? You know, and we became a better set because of it. And
It's actually, as you're talking, it's taking me back. I'm actually getting emotional thinking about it. I remember there was such love on the set of Run the World, such sisterhood, such camaraderie. But I remember finding out just how sick your dad was and being honestly, Brisha, in awe of your presence at work every day and truly just how lovely you were to work with and the energy you still brought to set despite knowing what you were dealing with. As soon as they said cut, who knows what text messages were on your phone, what calls you were having to get. I remember you were going back and forth, you were having to leave on the weekends and all of these things, but it taught me a valuable lesson, which I'm really grateful I get to share with you publicly, which is you can do both, you can be both. You were just Brisha. You were honest about your grief. You were honest about your work. You were honest about the good days. You were honest about the bad days, but you always treated everyone with love. Even though you might've had the worst day of your life, Brisha, we didn't know. And even if you did share that it wasn't the best day, you didn't take it out on anybody. You didn't lash out. You weren't having a, you know, it just was so, these are jobs, but we're also, life is still happening in the midst of these jobs that we're doing. And I just want to, as a sister, as a friend, just say that really taught me something. Like, actually, you don't know what's going to happen, but you still have to show up and you can do both. You were still an amazing daughter and you were an amazing actor at the same time.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. But yeah, like that's just, you know, like I have to look at it like that, you know, and inspire. Like one thing, like someone said, how are you getting through this? And I said, I know one day my rainbow is coming. My rainbow. And I can just rest on that. Like, yes, this is a cloudy day. This is a very cloudy. Oh, the sun's coming and my rainbow is coming. I have a rainbow, you know? So
yeah. You do. Know,
and, you know, even though it's coming with all this other stuff, I can still be grateful that I have a rainbow coming.
Let me ask you, and this, I don't know if you can recall something specific, but after your father left his body here on Earth, do you remember the first moment that you felt that rainbow? Like the first day that you were able to really maybe have like a full smile again or full joy or just a deep exhale. Do you remember what that moment was?
I do. It was on set. It was on set. An actual rainbow.
Yes. I just got chills.
Yeah, we were on set and it was raining and we were doing the a wedding scene, and I just was having so much fun that day. We were goofy as hell. I don't know why we were so goofy that day. And I just was like, I have made a commitment. I'm having a good day. I'm going to have a good, fun time today. We're just going to have fun. And then the rain was stopping and they were like, we might have to stop shooting. I don't know. And then all of a sudden the sun came out and there was this beautiful, bright rainbow. I just was like, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be okay. I was like, Dad, I'm with you. I'm going to be okay. You know, and another day I felt it was on my wedding day and we sang his song and it was beautiful and everything just was beautiful. And I just was like, he's here. He's here and everything is going to be okay.
Everything's going to be okay. How has marriage held you in this time of your life between, you know, grieving the loss of a parent, becoming a new, a first-time mom? Well, I know you're a bonus mom, but, you know, pregnancy. So what has marriage felt like and been like in this time?
My husband is. He really is. He has my back.
Yeah.
I've been through so much, but he's at my back. And I think that's what's so beautiful about marriage, because it's not perfect.
Oh, yes.
But it's just what you, when you allow the love in, when you allow two people who are different toward each other and learn how to support each other. And so he's at my back, you know, and been my rider and really has shown me what, it's like a covering. It's like my dad's covering left and then this new covering came on. And I'm so grateful that I allowed that, that God allowed me to experience that. Well, let me see if the other nose bleeding, girl.
Okay.
You said you just a hot. Now I got both of my nostrils popped up. See, here it is. This is my life. This is my life, Ashley.
Preisha.
This is how I walk around the house.
But see, listen, marriage.
Marriage.
You got a husband who's with it. Who's like, listen, babe, what you need? Walking around you with tissue boxes. Listen. Marriage is everything. It is everything. And I love what you just said, because I say a similar sentiment. I always say, I just feel so grateful that God saw fit for me to experience this type of love in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Like, I feel it is the biggest blessing that I get to feel and receive and experience love like I get from my husband. Like, I'm like, I can't believe there was a life before this. Like, whoa, I just was out there on my own. Like,
all right.
Whoa. Yikes. It's wild. Like, there really is a life before. And they talk, this is the thing too, Breisha. I feel like it's talked about a lot as it pertains to children. People talk about it's before I became a parent, it's after I became a parent, but it's also before I became a wife and after I became a wife. My life is drastically different in all of the best ways, and we're not confused about that. Yeah. So I really do feel like with him, we can get through anything. And that's really powerful, because I thought that I could do anything before I got married. I was like, you can't tell me that's something I can't do or achieve.
I can move the mountain.
Now, I mean, I'm not using my whole body to move mountains. I'm using a pinky. Like, I have a lot more flexibility. Yeah, it's a different world. It's a different world for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Married.
Marriage. God gonna do it. He gonna do it. Brisha,
gonna do what? It.
He gonna do it. And he did it.
So funny. I'm talking to you with these.
I'm obsessed, but it's so, you know what's funny, Brisha? This is the thing about you. You're not even trying to be funny. This is genuinely what you have to do.
Yes.
But yet it's just you. Of course, this is happening during the interview. Like it was unavoidable. Something was going to have to happen where you were.
Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. I was like, it was fine. Like, we're good. And like literally like walked me to this part of the house. He was like, you got tissue? And I'm like, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm so grateful I got this tissue.
You're going to walk back to the other house and he's going to be like, oh, man, I told you.
You talked to her with the tissue up your nose. I said, baby, we were having a good time.
But it's me. If you can't be yourself, Brisha, here, then where can you be yourself?
I don't
know.
So,
girl, I love it.
I'm myself all the time.
Now that is very true.
I can't help myself.
You would be at the White House with Barack and Michelle like this if you had to be.
I would. I'd be like, Michelle, you know, listen, do you get me too excited? I got my nose.
Brisha, what has been your takeaway from our conversation today?
Oh my God, it's so fulfilling. It's just so fulfilling.
Mm.
So thank you so much. My takeaway is just to like appreciate conversations. Like I love conversations like this.
Yeah.
Because you never know what people have gone through and you never know how people can inspire each other. You know, it just takes it up a notch for you to like know a person on a different level.
Yeah. And
but this has been soul feeding. It's been very soul. So thank you.
I'm glad.
Face with me and my nose.
Anytime. My takeaway is what you said, like you just don't know what people are going through. And you know, I'm thinking about hearing about your pregnancy and being so excited for you and congratulating you. But in retrospect, I wish I had taken it a step further and really been like, how are you doing? Like, how are you feeling? And I'm grateful that I kind of know more today so that I can pray for you and show up for you in a way that maybe is better suited for your needs. But it's a reminder that like, sometimes, you know, it's okay. And, you know, people will share what they're comfortable with sharing. But I always want the people that I love and care about to know that I want to really know how they're doing and not just celebrate the highlight reel. So it's a good nod to that and a good little like nudge and reminder for myself to dig a little bit deeper with my people because I want to know. I want to always lift them up as best I can. So you've got all the prayers.
I don't tell nobody nothing. I just go. I was like, here's a pretty picture on Instagram. Hey, you know,
yeah, I get it. You know, me too.
Share your stuff. And there was one post that you posted that you were like very candid about how you were feeling. And like where you were, you know, just how you were feeling about it. And I was like, it was such a good read. It was like, I identified with it so strong. Mm. And I was like, man, I'm going to text her. And I was like, because I really identify with that. And I think a lot of us are scared to say that. So I commend you for and putting that down because we're so obsessed with just the highlight reel and just putting out there. You know, this is what's happening for me and la, 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 look at us. But also there's this other side of it. We've gone through a lot. We've gone through a strike. We've gone through a pandemic. Mm-hmm. We've gone through so many things so we can't get back up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like yeah. As soon as we get back up, then they knock us back down again. So I thought it was just so honest.
Thank you for that. And it's something I want to do more of. And I think that's just, again, a blessing of when you're conversing with your friends, because it's like, that's another wink from God. Like, Ashley, do more of that because, you know, I want people to know what's really going on, because I find that, like, that's how you really help people. Like, that's how people really feel seen. That's when people really feel connected to who you are and your story. So I'm going to do more of that. It sounds like you're wanting to do a little bit more of that too, eventually wanting to share more of your journey, which I think you 1000% should. And it'll save a lot of lives probably. Yeah, let's both support each other in that. It's not always easy, because I think also, like, traditionally actors are like, we're all about, like, just what you see. Only, like, the real people know who we really are behind the closed doors. Like, but if we know that our careers are for service and that we have orders, yes, then we have to kind of start removing the layers a little bit so that we can do that to, you know, the best of our abilities. So I support you. I know you support me. And I think we had a really good start here on this podcast. So I love you. I honor you. I thank you. And I'm so excited for you and baby girl.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. This podcast is produced by LWC Studios for OWN. The show's executive producer is Juleka Lantigua. Our managing producer is Fatima Elswifi. Shanice Tindall is our lead producer. Jordan Thompson is our marketing coordinator. This episode was mixed by Trin Lightburn. Michelle Baker is our video editor. If you enjoyed listening to this episode, and we hope you did, please make sure to subscribe, leave a rating, and review wherever you listen to your podcast to ensure you hear the next one.